This is RSBNB Update, episode 570, recorded Thursday, June 2nd, 2016. Independent Counter Narratives. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for RSBNB Update. Just Dave and myself here this week.
Hello, hello.
So, Dave, you missed out on our little fun special we did this past weekend to discuss the Summer Summit.
Yes,
but I regret, we will, of course, get your opinion on that just a little bit later in the program today. But kind of a low-key week on RuneScape this week, rounding out the tail end of May. And starting off June, we have the PvP Dueling Anywhere mode of basically killing people. fun duels only, yeah. I think, is something that needs to be underscored here. And, I mean, just before we get too far into the mechanics of this, this used to be something that you would do way back in RS Classic. And, you know, it was a form of PvP, and then they brought back PvP worlds after the wilderness was removed for a bit, and now we're bringing in fun dueling. So, with it being fun, I'm just trying to think, is this something that could, you know, be a stepping stone to revitalizing PvP, perhaps?
Possibly. I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but, you know, within what was talked at the Summer Summit, and they seem to have, a little bit of emphasis on, you know, PvP and revitalizing PvP, I definitely think that it's on their radar. Whether or not, to what extent they're going to implement this is rather unknown. Sure, it's a stepping stone, but again, you kind of have to tread lightly with this Duel Anywhere thing because, you know, one small little update could end up, in essence, bricking the Duel Arena, and they really don't want to do that.
Yeah.
But if they do it, they're going to have to do some. They're definitely going to have to do some forward planning on that part. But we'll see what happens.
And of course, you know, the first thing that comes up is the Duel Arena. So you do need to have a reason to go to the Duel Arena, and I guess that is where the gambling and staking business is going to stay. So basically, the way this works is that you can turn these off in the settings. Of the interface, and it'll basically remove the option to receive the dual challenge offers as you would in the Duel Arena. And you can also, in the interface settings, remove the option to have the right-click duel on other players if you don't want your right-click menu being so cluttered. So that's how you opt out of this if you don't want to see any of it. And then, of course, RuneScape just carries on as it normally would. Now, for those of you who do want a duel, there's a number of things that need to be met in order for you to do this. But let's just talk a bit about the mechanics first. So you right-click on duel, and the person gets, you know, a four-word thing popping up in the chat box. And then you just click that, and the duel begins. There's no confirmation window that would pop up, as would in the Duel Arena for a friendly match. So that's kind of hard to miss in that regard. And it just seems as though the feedback for this is kind of dull compared to what it could be. Because basically, you click the little thing, then your character counts down 3, 2, 1. Then lo and behold, you have an attack option on the person in front of you. You kill them, and then the health returns to full. You don't even get a death animation or fireworks or anything like that. No congratulatory messages. It's just over. So it feels as though that it's missing a good portion of the user feedback that would be, you know, in a duel had you been in the Duel Arena. I'm not saying it should be as though you're in the Duel Arena. I'm just saying that it should be more apparent when you're being challenged, and you should just get more than the person respawning with full HP, life points rather, when you kill them.
Yeah, and this is very surprising to me because I at least sort of expected some sort of formal challenge, really. And, you know, basically, to put it into perspective, I was sort of expecting the same sort of window that pops up when someone asks, or is someone's trying to tell the other, you or something like that. Just something that pops up and just something fun, not necessarily like taking over your screen, but something that you're not going to miss if you're looking for it, because I feel like this is going to be a mechanic that's probably going to be used a lot whenever people are standing around, like before raids or dungeoneering. And, you know, when chat's going 100 miles an hour, it's going to be hard to see this regardless, you know. And sure, people can say, oh, just switch your chat tabs. But still, I think this could have been a little bit a little bit more thought and design could have been put into it. It's a very simple concept, but I literally feel like this was just sort of a copy and paste code that, you know, really wasn't thought through and just kind of thrown in. But I mean, it's nice. It's a stepping stone. But as we've said, it's a little lackluster in terms of visual feedback.
Yeah, and I mean the stepping stone will be that it gets people into the mindset of killing another player and maybe, you know, testing out various combat mechanics on someone without the need of, you know, going to a POH, for example, or, you know, you just want to have a friendly duel over, you know, who should get a spot at the rocks or the Slayer creatures, you know. Mm-hmm. So there's that side of it as well. There's lots of conditions where the duel will end, of course. In addition to the zero life points, it also ends if either player moves into an existing PvP area. Either player equips one of the items on the disallowed items list, which is listed on the news posting. The players move more than 32 tiles away from each other. The player isn't attacked by an NPC that isn't their opponent's familiar, or the player attacks an NPC that isn't their opponent's familiar. So NPC combat will, of course, break the duel. So there's that. And now here's some of the disallowed items or items that will terminate a duel. Rubber chicken, snowballs, water balloons, carrots, Christmas wand, Easter hand cannon, candy floss, two-player emotes, and the Kaporia outfit. And then the duel will not start if the person you wish to duel has the option to duel turned off, of course. The player is busy, like an interface is open. Either player has one of the disallowed items equipped. Either player is standing in an existing PvP area. The player you wish to duel is already in combat, or the player you wish to duel is already in the duel. Duelception is not allowed. So that's a nice little thing there. Duelception.
Duelception, yeah.
I had the idea that maybe we might see, you know, someone who starts a duel, say, at the gates of the Elven Lands and works their way all the way down, you know, from Prif through there, and then, you know, Ardoyan, and then Catherby over the mountain through Taverly, Varrock, etc. You know, because you could do that as long as you stay within the 32 spaces of each other. I think that might make for an interesting video. I'm just throwing ideas out there for anyone who might want to try and put something like that together with some kind of music. Might be an interesting thing to see.
That would be good.
So, you know, I mentioned this again on the Summer Summit podcast, the multi-plank PvP strategy, and that is you need to bring PvP in with the mini-games, with the wilderness, and of course with the clans. I think that this kind of fits in between the mini-games and the wilderness area, perhaps, so much so that it's basically another option of, you know, killing someone without going to the wilderness. So I think that you're entirely right in calling this a stepping stone towards something more PvP-worthy, let's just say.
Right.
Because if you think about it, what do you first need to do? You first need to establish your combat gear and then move on. Mm-hmm. From there into other realms of PvP. At least that's how it works in different games. And I'm sure that is the way we could kind of maybe make an effort to getting people used to it, because I don't know. I mean, what do you think the percentage of the population is in RS who actually, you know, would put the time in and try and kill someone who is in game?
Right. And that's also what I'm thinking, you know, with the whole stepping stone. You know, it's a stepping stone on more than one level, at least the way I see it. Of course, you know, we've discussed the technical aspect of it and, you know, actually the mechanics in game to foster this this PvP. But also, I feel like this is a stepping stone as well to sort of test the waters and sort of rally any sort of PvP within the community, because what's the point of having all PvP content if you have no one that wants to partake in it? So I think this is also a way to sort of judge how the community reacts to it. I'm sure they're pulling all kinds of data from this update to see how many people engage in it, where they engage in it, whatnot, collecting all this to see and to hopefully further shape and, you know, polish any sort of ideas or updates they're going to release in regards to PvP. At least that would be the smart approach to it. But yeah, I mean, like I said, this was, I feel like, you know, a stepping stone in more than one way, because if you, obviously, if you don't have an audience or a community, what's the point of having an update? So I think this is sort of a very small but significant rally call to see who's actually really interested in PvP and if it's worth their time to put in the development effort for this kind of content.
So. Yeah, and let's also remember that last year they brought out Darkscape and they shelved that earlier this year. Darkscape was, of course, the PvP experiment, and the whole point of that was that you live in a world that's very dangerous and you can kill people anywhere, anytime. So I think that also going on from the Darkscape track, you look at what was perhaps the most popular things to do in Darkscape, and if you can bring that to regular RS, that will interest people who were involved with Darkscape, mm-hmm. which is essentially a benefit because, like we've said before, PvP in this game is practically dead except for staking at the Duel Arena.
Right.
So that's also another very positive thing about that, and I bet that this is the entire reasoning behind this update, is that it's bringing that little bit of Darkscape to the main game for those mm-hmm. people who were fans of Darkscape.
Right.
Because I know they, you know, consulted with the community extensively when they were developing Darkscape, so much so that the community was involved in the kind of changes that they were going to be making, you know, from the economy and risk tables and stuff like that. So it certainly makes sense in that regard, and I think also that of course was one of the core benefits of Darkscape, was a way of looking at what could be done with PvP in this game to figure out what would be successful. Now obviously we heard stuff about this on the Summer Summit, you know, the Bounty Hunter rework, the Wilderness rework, mm-hmm. that would revitalize PvP and lower the barrier to entry, which is ultimately good. So, yeah, this is definitely pointing in that direction. And I never actually thought about the Darkscape angle before sitting down to record, so...
Yeah, me neither. That's actually a very good point.
Mm-hmm. And it makes perfect sense that why this update is here and kind of just tucked into the end of the month. And we say, why do we need this? Well, it provides metrics for Jagex on PvP in-game, specifically PvP anywhere. It also allows the Darkscape players to kind of get a sense of, you know, how PvP might be in RS3. And finally, it gives Jagex more metrics, not only on PvP, but how the combat system is working. Because let's remember that the evolution of combat came out in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is kind of in need of another rebalance. But that's a topic for another show.
Yeah, yep.
So, all right. Well, I'm happy with this then.
Yeah, I think it was, is serving the purpose of what it was intended for. Nothing groundbreaking, but I mean, it's definitely a step in the right direction. If indeed that's the step that Jagex wants to take. So
yeah, and I mean, anytime I can come on the show and be convinced that an update is worthwhile when I wasn't too excited about it, then that's a good thing. So
that's right.
Hopefully, listeners, you have gained some similar benefit to it.
Absolutely.
All right. So in addition to it being the beginning of June, we have the start of summer in RuneScape, specifically the summer special. So if you bought the summer special or you're grandfathered in an old raid or you had membership for a year, you automatically are part of the summer special on RuneScape. And one of these things includes the Illumination Aura, which replaces Enlightenment. So here's how Enlightenment works for those of you guys who were not listening on the weekend. Enlightenment, when you activate it, runs for 1 hour, and you get 10% bonus XP when you use it. Every five times, you get 100% extra XP when you use it, so double XP. And also, while you're doing this, any XP gained, your base XP, will be tracked on a unique summer high score system.
I'm going to stop you real quick. You said Enlightened. This is Illumination, just to be clear.
Ah, yes. Oh, right. Yeah, but it replaces Enlightenment.
Correct. Yep.
Yes. All right. And then, as I was saying, it also tracks your XP on the unique summer high scores table. So if you want to see how much XP you get in the summer, you can easily do this while wearing the Illumination Aura. Granted, it's only once a day, but that's enough to track your daily farming runs.
Indeed.
So, but there were some changes made to the Illumination Aura from when first announced. Most notably, the Illumination Aura boost now works with Gilded Altars and other XP boosts such as Clan Avatars, prayer bonus XP will be disabled on altars during this activation. So, yeah, it also works with bonus XP. Previously, when you were Illumination, you would not get bonus XP, so they did make that change to the XP system.
Yeah, that's good for the clarification, because I feel like any time there's some sort of bonus weekend or any sort of experience-enhancing modifiers, I always hop on the forums, and that's usually the majority of what I see is people asking how it stacks with other modifiers.
Right.
If it's additive, if it's multiplicative, so I'm glad they sort of sorted this out before.
I mean, in the beginning, they weren't going to include bonus XP, as in your bonus XP, you wouldn't utilize your bonus XP pool in that hour. Mm-hmm. And I actually like that idea. So I'm kind of upset that they had to backtrack on that and bring in the bonus XP and benefits from XP boosting gear with this. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, granted, the high scores still show the base XP that you get, but I don't know. I don't exactly feel that this was a smart move. And, I mean, obviously, Jay is listening to the players in this regard, but we also need to remember that players have huge pools of bonus XP that are built up, and they definitely want to use those. And if not, they're not going to use Illumination, which I guess is just counterintuitive to what Jagex had intended with this update.
Right.
So I can see why they reversed course on this, but I think it would have just been nice to say, no, you're just getting the 10% XP here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just a matter of standing your ground. But again, that's a whole nother monster. So
yeah, and I mean, obviously, you have things that do add up, like the skilling boosting outfit. I definitely noticed I got, 1.15 times XP on the high score table with my woodcutting, because I didn't have any bonus XP in that. But at the same time, when I tested runecrafting and I had tons of bonus XP, it didn't actually count that on the high scores. So I don't know. What do you think? Should they have backtracked?
That's sort of dangerous waters, because, you do this, then you got to do that, then you got to do this. Honestly, no. I just feel like they're kind of caving in just to keep people happy, which is, it's good in a sense, but, as I've said, it can also be dangerous. And I think you're pretty familiar with that subject as well, but that's on a whole nother level. But
oh, yeah, speaking of dangerous, that's yet to come on this episode of Update.
But, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. There's good, there's bad to it. People that wanted it are glad. People that feel it's unnecessary. I personally think there was really no use for it. I mean, it's 10%. Like, it's really not that big of a deal. If you've honestly, sometimes the entitlement in the community is a little bit overbearing for me. You're given two cookies and then you beg for four.
You'd be basically have a multiplier of like when you're doing XP, you get your, times two plus 10%. So 210% XP, you get that. Versus previously, you just would have got the 110%. So,
right.
I mean, it can be split either way. But at the end of the day, I am still happy that the high scores are only counting base XP. So that has to be the core message of this.
Correct. Yep.
And also with this, brings in the summer sweepstake. Starting June 1st and running until the end of September, each month you'll get a ticket, and the number of tickets you get up will be the amount of months you have been subscribed, so including September. So you can either save these tickets to get items in games, such as, golden barrow sets, portable banks, and then in September they have the ultimate, which is a trip to visit Jagex HQ. So use your tickets wisely, whether you want in-game items or a chance at winning the trip to Jagex HQ. So,
indeed.
And you just get these by clicking the little window that pops up next to the mini-map in-game, and then you can just bank the ticket from there. So it's also worth noting that Iron Men are also able to take part in this, and they will receive their small XP lamps. However, they can only do this during September, raffling for the real-life prize.
Yeah.
So, including Iron Man here, which kind of goes with regard to the poll that we saw at the end of last year, talking about what should the Iron Man event extent be in this. So, I guess small XP or lamps are okay, but I don't own an Iron Man. If you think differently, please do let us know.
Indeed.
And, of course, you can also enter in on Facebook as well. So, full details to that in the news posting. All right, so there's not much in the patch notes this week, just a couple of little things that I wanted to mention before we move on, and that includes re-prevented cannons from being placed in the God Wars dungeon.
Ooh, that was probably interesting.
Yeah, because, I mean, that is definitely somewhere you can go and get lots of XP and kill things quickly.
Oh, absolutely, considering that was one of the, I would say, top tier methods when Invention first came out for going there just with the multi-combat. So yeah, I'm sure Canon could definitely, a lot of death and destruction going on. So I'm glad they fixed that. Yeah. Chaos for sure.
Corrected an issue with Kindred Spirits where the quest point cape could be worn sooner than intended.
Mm.
All right. Always interesting how people manage to find ways to wear their quest point capes. a hype train will no longer appear in the player-owned house menagerie. And, of course, the hype train is the pet you could get earlier this year that builds hype when game update is incoming. So, you ever seen any of these around?
I was just going to say I have never seen a hype train around, but I guess that's to be expected. I don't know. If I had a hype train, well, see, again, I don't really think they'd be out just with my geographic location, because I feel like people are going to have their Chronicle book or some sort of other follower out, you know, while they're, you know, performing their daily RuneScape activities or, you know, what have you. I feel like the only benefit to having a hype train out is like right before an update. And as we all know, those are typically, based on, you know, British time, and, you know, I'm 5-6 hours behind. So usually when all the hype trains would efficiently or effectively be out, I'm typically in bed or, you know, bad time at work or whatever. So, no, I haven't seen them, but it's interesting that they were allowed to be in the menagerie.
Yeah, indeed. All right, and corrected an issue where electrified box traps could regain lost charges. And, of course, these are relating to the Invention update a couple weeks ago.
Indeed.
So, all right, so Summer Summit was this past weekend. Just in a bit of thinking back about it, there's a number of things we want to just kind of reiterate here. So, first off, you did the survey, and did you notice anything specific about the survey that I noticed?
Well, one thing that kind of struck me differently is why they were asking about old school, in the first part. And, it's probably not what caught your eye. There's a couple other things, but we can discuss that, here in a second. But I took the survey expecting to just be about, you know, the future updates for RS3, and it started out with old school. And, of course, I answered, you know, honestly and, you know, got to the thing on why don't you like old school or, you know, what could we do to improve? So I found that kind of interesting, and it sort of led me to believe that they really are trying to grab all of their communities and, you know, kind of try to unify them. And, you know, as we, you know, mentioned just a while ago about Darkscape, you know, I hadn't thought of that, but thinking of that now, you can sort of see if you look hard enough that, you know, they're trying to pull the attention, you know, of a lot of people and sort of, you know, bring them together when they announce this stuff. And I think that was what the Summer Summit was really kind of tried to achieve, you know, bringing everybody, get their interest back in at least for a week, just to sort of tune into the news articles and see what's going on with the game. but I found that interesting. But what did you find? What stood out to you?
Well, I mean, obviously we didn't discuss this on the podcast that talked about the summer special, but there were no mentions of any new elite skills anywhere on this post.
Mm. Yes.
Which is really interesting because, you know, Invention came out in January, and that means that, you know, by the end of 2016, hopefully Invention will be on its way to being fully fleshed out, and maybe a kind of thinking could begin on another elite skill of some kind, but that wasn't even mentioned in the survey. And I mean, obviously this was built based on what players suggested on the Rune Labs, but I mean, sure, Jagex could obviously insert something they wanted in here. So sure, there's that. And, you know, this got me and Sirion thinking after we finished recording. There was no mention of elite skills. And at the end of the day, if Invention is going to be the only elite skill for quite some time, and it seems as though they're bringing out, you know, potentially the mastery system, which basically you choose a path and another skill like mining or smithing, and they're bringing that in, which is an Invention feature, and little tasks from those skills. So why didn't we just make Invention a regular, you know, true skill mastery level 120 skill, mm-hmm, and put it behind, you know, some simple 10-15 minute quest, much like the tutorial would be that required 80 divination, smithing, and crafting. And then lo and behold, there you go. You got your entry to an elite skill right there. You put it behind a quest.
Right.
And then with that, you have, you know, one XP curve, and then rather than, you know, keeping the item disassembly the same XP from level, I don't know, whatever it'd be, 10 all the way to level 120, you just vary that based on your level and the tier of equipment you're using, and then from that, you can kind of influence the progression of the skill in the same way you influence the progression of the Invention Elite skill, mm-hmm, based on its skill curve. So you could potentially do that still by saying, we're changing the XP curve for Invention. We're not doing these elite skills. And if you are, say, 70% the way between level 90 and 91, you will have that XP translated to be 70% of the way between 90 and 91 of the existing skill tree. And then you would be given that amount of XP. So they could technically do something like that. And the fact that, you know, we didn't see any elite skills on there means that because if Invention was really taking off the way they wanted it to, I think we would have seen an elite skill on the survey.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that. And
yeah, I think they still have a little bit of tweaking to do, mm-hmm, especially with the elite skill. Obviously, this is their first one. I feel like they kind of tested the waters. They're finding out what works, what doesn't work, what the community likes, how they react to each update. And that was another thing that I saw in the survey as well, is do you prefer, you know, large updates? And if so, do you like them split up into multiple batches, or do you like one, you know, sort of lump sum update? So I think that's also something they're trying to figure out within the community, is, you know, how to release this sort of stuff. If they like it, how they did Dungeoneering and Elf City, where it was, you know, multiple releases ultimately coming to the final product. So yeah, I definitely think they're still trying to sort of iron out the wrinkles within the elite skill thing, and I think that's why they didn't really want to get ahead of themselves, because I could see a lot of negative feedback coming from,
right,
the community after, you know, honestly, what could be considered a really big flop of a skill, just in terms of content, and then, you know, they're already announcing something else. You know, it's sort of in the same realm. There was a game a couple years ago called Project Cars. It was a crowdfunded game similar to Forza, Gran Turismo. Really good game, really in-depth, all kinds of, you know, new features and whatnot. You know, it came out. It didn't do as well as they thought. And literally like a week and a half later, they were already talking about a second one. And that really, you know, for lack of a better term, pissed off the community, because the initial game that came out, you know, wasn't exactly finished. It wasn't totally polished. And here they were not worrying about sort of perfecting and patching the old game, but they were just moving on to the next one. And, you know, that's just from any developer standpoint, that's definitely poor practice. You know, get your craft down, know what worked, know what doesn't work, and then improve on it. So I think that's kind of why they left it out. And I think it was very smart on their behalf.
Yeah,
for sure.
I mean, honestly, Invention has a lot of promise to it still. And I think that the update we had this past month is definitely a positive way looking forward. So
yeah, and I think if they would have mentioned, again, I think if they would have mentioned a new elite skill in the works, I think a lot of people would have given up on Invention, thinking, okay, well, they're putting all their development effort and their content development effort into this new skill, so we're going to kind of get the bottom of the barrel, little sort of piddly sort of updates to Invention, and we're not really going to get the full effect. And you know, just like you said, you know, we got our recent update with the skill trees and, you know, more gadgets and devices and stuff. So, yeah, I think they made the right decision on not sort of getting ahead of themselves. Now, I'm not saying they haven't thought of it. I'm sure there's plenty of ideas that are in the books, but, you know, just from a PR standpoint, it's good that they didn't really sort of jump into that just yet. So,
yeah. And I mean, basically what I was saying with regards to, you know, the potential of shifting back to the standard XP curve, I was just putting that out there as an idea because, I mean, what do we really gain from the new XP curve? Mm-hmm. Like, we didn't exactly feel the new XP curve because we got to, so many people got to level 99 so quickly, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So, I mean, it just, I'm not 100% sold on the new XP curve, and what I presented is merely a way that Invention could be turned back into a standard skill, and we could move back to the standard XP curve with that.
Right. So. The thing, you know, I don't want to beat this dead horse too hard, but you know, what sort of, I mean, mathematically speaking, I found it odd. You know, what's the point of an rather than just getting more level ups more frequently, which in turn, you know, keeps you engaged in the skill. You know, everyone's saying they're not feeling the curve. Well, I mean, that's kind of what happens when you increase the amount you need to get to a certain point, but you also increase how much experience you get per item. So it's like, okay, yeah, it's 80 mil for 120, but every item that you get to level 10, that's like 500,000 XP. So when you think about it, it kind of does equal out. And I think that's a big reason why we didn't feel it as much. I felt it in terms of, you know, up until, you know, more than halfway to 120, you know, I was getting at least one level every time I had a batch of things to disassemble. But again, it's relative to player level, and I was usually disassembling about three things at a time. So, I mean, I was pulling in between 1 mil to 2.5 mil XP a day, or, you know, a day and a half or whatever, because I was doing combat. So that's definitely something else to think of. If they really want this XP curve to work, they're going to kind of have to fine-tune it a little bit more to where you're not, you know, getting three, four levels at a time until you get to level 70. And then, you know, you're not getting a level every day because, you know, I got my 120 Invention in like a month. So, I mean, could I feel it? Yeah, but I definitely think that it could still use some finer tuning, and I can't say I'm sold on it either. But anyway, I'm getting beside the point. So,
all right. So your top five then, top five updates that you voted for.
Top five. I'm going to leave Prestige out of this just because it's implied that I'm behind it. So I'm going to go down from that. As all of you know, and probably thought of me if you were taking this, construction rework top for me by far, for obvious reasons. It really hasn't been touched substantially since summer of 2006. I think it's actually coming up, or it just happened. I can't remember.
Yeah, it
if
just
I
happened
saw it.
2 days ago.
Yeah, 10 years.
May 31st, 2016.
Yeah. 10 years, and we have not seen a substantial rework or update. I mean, I would have even been happy with just a graphic rework, but you go in and it really is like old school. You could pass for something in old school. But yes, I definitely want that. I've always liked the skill since it came out. You know, and I was like 14 back then, like back when I first started. Anyway, that's definitely a first on the list for me. Second is something I've wanted probably ever since I started the game, and really, you know, started grinding, is weather. I think
it's interesting.
Very, very possible. And I, well, obviously it is possible, or they wouldn't have said it with NXT. And I think it could absolutely multiply the atmosphere and, or, you know, exponentially in, enhance the atmosphere of the game. And, you know, I sort of, this came to my attention when I was doing the really grindy stuff, especially fishing. Because, like, okay, this is, you know, this is very nice. I like the landscapes. It'd be really cool if there was, like, weather. Because, I mean, I'm a little biased in real life, but I'm really intrigued by, you know, weather and atmosphere. You know, how all that stuff works. I love storms mm-hmm. and whatnot. So I think it would be really cool to implement that into RuneScape. Because, you know, Skyrim has weather and, you know, Minecraft, and it really sort of adds to the immersion in the game. So weather is definitely in the top for me. Three, not necessarily from a functionality standpoint, but just something that's kind of fun. I have mounts just because it's been talked about for so long, and I think it could add to, it would make me want to do combat more if it was something that's, you know, dropped from boss monsters, or you buy these. It wouldn't necessarily have to I mean, it could increase running speed. I feel like this has been something that could have been implemented with summoning, but yep, at the time definitely. at the time of summoning's release, they didn't really have the engine and the resources to sort of do this, because it would have taken up too much squares. And then in turn, you know, if you're going to be at the, you know, Grand Exchange, and, you know, everyone's going to be on a mount, it's going to, you know, just completely destroy your processor. NXT, again, very reliant on NXT, the new client, much more streamlined, uses a lot less resources and pulls the resources from the respective parts of your computer. So I think pretty much all of the barriers have been lifted from this becoming. And again, they wouldn't have put it on this survey if it wasn't at least possible in some way. So that's definitely on there for me. Again, I think it would really it would help them get a lot of more participation and content they have if there was, you know, some, at least my advice from, you know, sort of a developer standpoint, I would look at, you know, dead content. Okay, make some of these mounts available by playing mini games or PvP or whatever. I would go PvP if I could get cool different mounts. It's really about, I feel like they could do a lot with this and really sort of revitalize the community with mounts and how you obtain them and whatnot. Anyway, my next one, number four, these two are kind of neck and neck. I have skilling hotspots with construction and skilling pets.
All right.
And as most of you probably, you know, are aware, you know, skilling is sort of my thing. It always has been. So I'm obviously always on board for anything in terms of skilling. I feel like we get plenty of quests. We get plenty of combat. It's, you know, both at least once a month we get something with that. So I would really like to see more in-depth sort of skilling stuff. And I really like the whole specialization with that. I mean, that didn't make the list, but that was like six for me. You know, I sort of like, you got runecrafting. Okay, there could be a, you know, elemental specialization, and there could be a catalytic specialization, for example. And, you know, say you go catalytic. Okay, whenever you craft, you know, catalytic runes, you'll get a little bit extra as opposed to like your level modifier. Just little bonuses and sort of, you know, set you apart from, oh, well, I have 99 runecrafting. Oh, okay, well, so do I. You know, within a guild, it's like, oh, well, I have this specialization, so here, I can make these, and then you can do that, and you can do this. So, and, you know, it's not just having a flat level, there's a little bit more customization to it. Again, in-depth skills, always something that's intrigued me. And then skilling hotspots, I think, goes hand-in-hand.
Yeah, that's, you know, right out of the initial design from construction from RS Classic.
Right, yeah. You know, skilling hotspots, I really like going hand in hand with a construction rework and sort of teasing the idea of surface world construction because I think they clarified that it would be surface world these spots.
Yeah.
So, you know, kind of biased as well with that, sort of teasing that idea. And hopefully, you know, if this does come to fruition, that, you know, it will stimulate that into the community. And okay, let's take it a step further and go with that. So yeah, that's definitely cool. And then skilling pets. Again, not really into bossing myself, but there was also something mentioned in the survey about possibly increasing the profitability of skilling as opposed to bossing. Which is, we've talked about that before on a couple months ago.
It's definitely needed, and anyone who listens to this show knows why.
Right. So skilling pets, I think, would be really cool because, you know, everybody likes pets to some degree. It's always nice to have somebody follow you around, but, you know, it would be nice, you know, to see things other than, you know, Virago pets, because basically everybody that has a pet out right now that is obtained, other than, you know, the in-game shot or Solomon's or what have you.
Or the Mega Duck or the Chronicle book.
Right. If it's a non-promotional follower, it's from bossing. So basically if somebody has a boss pet out, it's just, okay, they're PVM. And it would be really cool to see a community, you know, with some sort of mining golem or something, you know, that's very, very rare to find or, you know, something like that, that you, again, encouraging skilling and hopefully in turn that sort of sparks them to delve deeper and make skilling more profitable. So, you know, people that do enjoy that aspect of the game as myself, you know, the grind or just skilling in general, really sort of brings that full circle and sort of balances that out. Everybody talks about the combat balancing, but I definitely think there's an area that needs to be balanced in terms of combat and skilling. Combat, non-combat, rather. So I was really stimulated by those five at least. And again, these were all, it was really hard for me to sort of order the 12, and I kind of just dropped off after about six or seven because I figured it really wouldn't matter.
But. You make a convincing argument for skilling pets because none of us on Saturday put skilling pets in our top five in our top 10, actually, too, because, you know, we see what the boss pet hunt has done to PVM and how that became the sole reason for PVM. Mm-hmm. And we didn't necessarily want that to become the sole reason for skilling. So that's why I didn't put it in there. So but you do make a convincing argument for it. So I will give you that. Anyways, just to recap of my top five, of course, Prestige System is there, but other ones are the player-owned farm and greenhouse, which is, of course, a construction addition, hopefully, which pulled second to the aquarium. So that is definitely something that I voted high on the list. Next up, of course, the construction and POH rework. Same reason as you, mainly, but it's been 10 years. It was such a transformative skill when it came out. And what do we use our POHs for these days? Mm-hmm. Holding pets.
Yep.
Skilling hotspots created with construction, as I outlined, initial idea for that came from RS Classic. So once again, a good thing. And then the top five was rounded out by two quests, Elemental Workshop Part 5 and the Elder Gods Quest. Elemental Workshop Part 5 because it's just a nice little contained quest that deals with puzzles and a mystery that we don't know what's underneath, you know, that town of Sears Village. So that's why that's there. And then, of course, the Elder Gods. I've always been intrigued by the exploration kind of stuff that we saw with Heart of Stone. And I think that this is the next logical stepping point after Sliskay's Endgame, which is ending, of course, this year. So.
Indeed.
That's my top five.
Very good.
All right. So I mentioned that things were going to potentially take a bit of a turn on this episode of RSBNB Update. Well, let me just say that this past week, we produced a one-minute short promotional video on the Prestige System, encouraging people to vote for it. I'll play that for you guys right now. If YouTube would load, here we go. The RuneScape 2017 survey is now live. Here's what Mod Osborne and Mod Kelby have to say about the Prestige System.
Another update, which is Prestige. So we've talked about prestige in the past. Mm-hmm. We've kind of surveyed you a little bit on the idea of prestiging. We're going to talk to you a bit more about it, but it could go into two different forks, the way I see it. One is that you could get to 99 and simply reset for a benefit. You could go back and restart your character in some way to gain an additional benefit and then level back up. Or perhaps you could offset and redirect the XP that you're getting in one skill and put it in something else. The idea of having a pet that you level up because you're siphoning all of your mining XP into it. Or maybe there's another character or something in your POH. We want to know how interested people are in prestige, and there's also kind of questions in the poll.
Yeah, there's more stuff to delve deeper into that stuff.
Asking about prestige and whether or not you've been interested.
We've been successful in getting the prestige system added to the RuneScape 2017 survey, but our work is not over. We need you and your friends to vote for the prestige system on questions 25, 26, 29, 34, and 35. Also, share this with your friends and let's make the prestige system a reality. All right, so that was the little promotional video that we put together for the prestige system. And this went out on Tuesday, I want to say. So yesterday, Wednesday, we decided that, okay, so we are wanting to get this out to as many people as we could. So what we ultimately did is we shared this to Reddit. We posted it. Earth posted it on the RuneScape subreddit with a fairly innocuous and benign post in terms of Reddit postings as far as they go. I'll quote from that right now. Jagex took the new and groundbreaking step of unveiling 2017's updates at the Summer Summit. The Prestige System was a part of this year's Summer Summit. The Prestige System was also suggested on Rune Labs by some friends of mine. We love your support for it on the 2017 survey. Then we put a link to the 2017 survey. Then we continue on. The Prestige System can be brought into game in one of two forms. One, somehow reset a skill or a part of your account so that you can restart and train from the beginning again. This would allow those who are truly passionate about skills to continue training skills that they love without influencing anything else. Number two, siphon off experience that you're receiving and put it towards something else, a pet, a character, or something else in your POH. Right now, we don't know much else about this potential method of prestige, but the example given involved a pet that would enhance mining in some way once it's leveled up. Either method would allow those that truly love a skill in-game to continue training beyond level 99 with some meaningful rewards. Whether it's a pet, method two, or simply regaining the experience and with incremental rewards along the way. Then we say Mod Osborne and Mod Kelpie describe the prestige system in under 45 seconds with the link to the video that we just posted, and then we end calmly, thank you for your support. That's fairly simple, right? Fairly mm-hmm. benign.
Yeah.
So we posted this, and a number of hours later, the content was just removed. We got no messages on the post, no messages to Earth's inbox, and no explanation whatsoever about why it was removed. It clearly wasn't rule-breaking of any of the rules that they list on their sidebar. We weren't spam advertising a channel, even though they say, you know, don't spam advertise YouTube channels and only post YouTube videos of approved websites, but I'm sure you can go on there and you can see any number of YouTube videos on the RuneScape subreddit. And ultimately, the question has to be asked, why? Why was it removed? I mean, was it, an ad for something in a mod's eyes? Or maybe, they thought it was trolling, because that is one of their rules. I don't know. Or maybe they just disagreed and they just removed the content from it. So the point here is that this, we feel, was a simple post that should have been allowed to discuss a portion of the survey on what is probably, I don't know if it's the largest, but I imagine it would be close to the largest third-party RuneScape community out there, and it was just removed with no reason whatsoever. So I'd just like to say to all you listeners out there who use this subreddit, reconsider your priorities of where you're putting your community time in. Yeah, I don't think you want to be using somewhere sources like this that's like that. What was that, Dave?
Oh, yeah, just, you know, be careful on, you know, if you're getting your information about the game from the RS subreddit, you know, be wary, because if they're so willing to just remove stuff that they don't like, you know, or, you know, being choosy, and this goes back to one of our previous episodes on Facebook having a newsroom and sort of, you know, being biased with that. You know, if there's a mod that doesn't like a specific update and doesn't want somebody, you know, rally behind it, all they have to do is remove it. And it's, I don't know.
And that clearly happened right here.
And I'm pretty sure that happened right here. Yeah,
I mean, so it's, be very careful. It it was under 50% upvoted. It was at zero, so it did get downvoted hilariously. So, and once again, this is a testament to that cesspool of a community out there, yeah, that the downvote button, they say in their, you know, reticate or whatever the heck they want to call it, is not a disagree button, but it is clearly used as a disagree button.
Right.
So, and I mean, you really need to be careful when you are using that source of community for your news about the RS community. So, I mean, I just want to say that it's, I am done with that community. We will not be going back there for anything. We will not be having anyone on the show who is associated with that community. We will not be driving any traffic to that community going forward. And there will be no links to it, nothing. It is going to be a no-go zone on this podcast, just as the, you know, FUD spreaders after the Evolution of Combat came out were.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a stance that we are taking here. And I mean, I was hoping that I would be proven wrong with this.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, I was proven right. So, I don't know.
It's unfortunate that, you know, it had to come to this. Again, a very benign post, especially with such a, I would think, hoped about or...
discussing a part of the survey.
Yeah, talked about something that was very hyped up. Obviously, it's a big event, and I don't go on there often, obviously, but the times I am on there, the first page is pretty much nothing but, you know, live stream Q&As and like the current stuff going on. So you would think they would really sort of want to foster that community and discussion about what was going on. And in that case, it was like the heat of, you know, the event, really trying to get discussions. And I feel like there was a mod that said, I don't want this. It was already downvoted. I'm just going to remove it. And that's very,
yeah. And I mean, it just wasn't a clear case of just removing the content. It was shadow banned from the website, as in it didn't show up in my friend feed as though Earth posted it, and it didn't show up in my upvoted feed. The only way I was able to access it was with the original link that I had to it.
Yeah.
And
it's very unjust for
sure. Yeah, and I mean, I'd also like to point out that on the official RuneScape homepage, the first social icon they have is to that website.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, and I mean, obviously Reddit is counted as a fan site, and maybe underneath Follow Us, we should have a link to all the other fan sites as well, like the RS Wiki, or RuneHQ, or Tippett, or Zybez, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
But, I don't know, I just say if you guys use that website, just stay away from it. It's not somewhere you want to be.
No, given just that. In general, and not even necessarily with RuneScape, but I mean, I've been on other different ones, and it's the danger, the risk you take with a community driven sort of, you know, any sort of message board, and you know, being from a standpoint of being you know, a moderator, or you know, someone of, you know, authority within an online community, that's pretty much the first rule. You know, if there's punishment to be doled out, there has to be some sort of reason presented to the person committing whatever act it is, and to, you know, within the moderator community. So you got both ends. You know, you have to be fair in what you do. You can't just whip out your band hammer whenever you disagree with something and have no explanation for it. And that holds true not just for online communities, but just law in general. And just that's how it goes. That's just how that's the, you know, etiquette, obviously. And you know, this is definitely no exception. So it's very unfortunate that this happened, but I mean, if people are going to act that way, then I strongly encourage you, and Shane also strongly encourages you to, you know, again, reevaluate where you're getting your community information and where you're investing your time, with such a volatile, community, especially with, you know, reporting news or just, you know, having a neutral, platform. So.
Yeah. And I mean, I knew something like this was ultimately, possible from that subreddit, because you go in there and everything is always, you know, focused around one specific narrative. And, you know, when you get a sufficiently large community in a website such as Reddit, you end up with an inevitable collective consciousness, let's just say, of what the people deem as accessible or acceptable and not acceptable for it. Mm-hmm. So, there's that. And I think that that is something at a larger issue. It's a larger issue that we need to take care of, because we're insulating ourselves from opinions that we don't like, right, and we're making them go away. And over time, you ultimately lose what the other side is hearing. And I don't think that that's a good thing, whether it be, you know, in the real world election or here on the RS subreddit. There should be no reason that post should have been removed. I mean, sure, you could say that it was perhaps they didn't like the fact there was a YouTube video on it. But, like, at the very least, say what it was about.
Mm-hmm.
And you would think that a community that is listed on the RuneScape homepage would want to have the game's best interests at heart. And that includes fostering discussion for the 2017 updates, which is what this is ultimately going to do. It's to have a discussion about one of the questions on the survey.
Absolutely, and we all know that JMods are active on that, you know, on that subreddit, and that's where they pull a lot of, you know, different opinions, and where they gauge a lot of their feedback.
Well, maybe that's why the community's going to shit.
But that, yeah, that's the thing, and you know, that could pose a potential threat. You know, obviously to any of these, you know, crooked, dare I say, moderators on the subreddit. You know, maybe they didn't want, you know, the discussion of, you know, possible, you know, they would know that JMods would be on there and, you know, be evaluating. And again, it all just comes down to somebody disagreed, I feel like, and, you know,
yeah,
you can
attack
me.
Yeah, the disagree button is not a downvote button. That's the way it should be. But it's not.
You can attack me as much as you want for assuming that this was just a disagreeance and why it was removed. But until we are given any sort of formal reason from the person that deleted this, that's what we're going with. So if you didn't want that to happen, I mean, it could have easily been solved just by a simple explanation.
And if there's anyone out there listening to this, feel free to contact us. questions@rsbnb.com is a good email address. You can send us anything.
Yep.
I won't be back. But it would just be nice to know.
Right.
And I think that just in closing here, I do want to say that when I say the community is going bad, I don't necessarily mean, of course, the people who listen to this great podcast and the people who are part of the RSBNB community, ClanQuest. I think that just the general attitude of it has kind of shifted in a way that is kind of geared towards insular, self-serving attitudes, mm-hmm, over what is best for the game,
yeah,
as we see with surveys and polls and everything that happens.
Yeah, it's definitely, and you know, I'm repeating myself, but it's a very volatile community, and I feel like it really is becoming dangerous in the fact that it's a bit of a toxic hive mind, and you see that in most subreddits, and you know, it holds true for any sort of online community that's visited on, you know, very large scales, because, you know, it comes to the fact of, yes, the disagree or the downvote button isn't disagree, but then people are, and this plagues all social media, everyone's just like hungry, and everybody wants, you know, Reddit gold and stuff, so they want to appease everybody else. So it's this, again, this self-fulfilling prophecy, and that creates this hive mind, and everybody's sort of feeding off each other to get, you know, rep and get higher up and be, you know, become respected in a community. As with any sort of community, everyone wants to move up, so everybody has this, you know, again, this hive mind that sort of strays away from the neutrality of the discussion platform for the game. And again, that's very dangerous. So
and just
be aware.
Ultimately, I blame, you know, this kind of same hive mind for the player power polls that came out. Mm-hmm. And then inevitably Rune Labs, Legacy Mode. All this came out because the FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt that people were spreading about the evolution of combat wasn't effectively countered in these communities. Mm-hmm. Because people didn't want to counter it.
Right.
And that's the story and the idea behind why Reddit is the largest cesspool on the internet next to 4chan.
Indeed.
And I would delete my account, but I'm not quite done there yet. I still need it for a few more months.
That's right.
Anyways, One final piece of RS news before we leave you and move on to questions, and that is the Gemerator as part of this week's Treasure Hunter promotion. So, this week's promotion basically mashes up the colors of the last five gems that you received, averages them out, and then gives you a prize based on that combined rarity, and that will be happening for the entirety of this weekend. So if you're just going, you know, with your regular three from the Premier Club, so that is 2 days, so you'll get to use the Gemerator twice over the entire weekend. So, I mean, I guess that's okay, but if you roll badly all weekend, you'll just get something worse.
Tricky.
But anyways, they do have an interesting little video here on the RuneScape Hipstergram account of how it works. So I'll just have a quick look at that. So basically, it's not going, so I can't see how it works, but you click each chest and then they appear on the side. And then after that, you'll see the averaged out value. Then you just click claim prize there and you get the little bonus chest that you get after five. So this person got three white and two yellow, and they got a yellow chest at the end of the day. So, yeah. This one's pretty benign compared to other ones, I think.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of hard to top the ones we've covered the last few weeks. But, you know, Treasure Hunter is Treasure Hunter. They're gonna milk what they can. Yeah. So.
And, of course, there's a special gem cape that comes out of this. So I guess that is what you can look forward to, though. It doesn't say if it's tradable, so yeah. Fingers crossed. I'm hoping not.
Right, yeah, we can only hope.
Alrighty, well, we're going to move on to the questions right now, and the first one is an audio question from Parnassius.
G'day, guys, it's Parnassius here, and I have a question this week about the recent survey Jagex put out. As we know, Shane has been championing the Prestige system, and it is something that is close to my heart as well. It's something I would love to see in-game. However, most disturbing is if you go to question 29, where it asks you to scale of 0 to 10 how much you would enjoy this update, under Prestige system, the actual description is sacrifice XP you would have gained to level something else, as in a pet, an NPC, or a guild, and gain benefits for doing so. It says nothing about resetting your skill at 99 and leveling it again with the multiplier that we're really looking for. How do you feel about this? Do you think Jagex has done it a real injustice by doing this and have pretty much shot this idea in the foot by describing it this way and not saying anything about the actual resetting of levels? Love to hear your thoughts on it and what else you thought about the whole survey in general. Anyway, happy RuneScaping all, and I will see you all in-game.
Yeah, I think that definitely the preferred method is of resetting the skill, and I also have a feeling, unfortunately, that the secondary option of, you know, sending your experience elsewhere, whether it be, you know, the pet guild or whatever was named in the stream, is a workable option, at least for me. Though I don't think the players will give it a chance, being named the Prestige system, for the reasons that we just spent 15 minutes outlining. Mm-hmm. So, I think that I could get by with the proposed alternative to it, and I think that that would definitely give me a reason to train my skills that are past level 99, and I don't get any discernible benefit from training.
Sure.
But, obviously, the other way is preferred. So.
Yeah. Just to be straight and to the point, I don't think they had bad intentions with this. I don't think they were doing it on purpose to sort of distract it. You know, they were just doing what any good developer would do and taking an idea and possibly expanding on it to hopefully get more support. Now, how this was received and how this will be received within the community is up for debate, and that all points back to what we just finished talking about is the whole hive mind. You know, if them they can interpret this sort of branching out with different possibilities, and rather than sort of working out maybe a happy medium between the two or taking – a facet of this and a chunk of that and putting it together, they just automatically think, no, we don't want this, it's change. And, you know, many, many, many of the arguments I've heard against the prestige mode is just, oh, it was downvoted once. You know, they don't even have the open-mindedness to sort of reevaluate it with a different and a better explanation, which was obviously the flaw to begin with. So, was it intended to sort of shoot it in the foot? No. Does it have that effect and will it have that effect? I definitely think it's possible, as unfortunate as it is. But again, that all just comes back to, you know, the audience that they are appealing to and, you know, the biggest sort of communities that aren't exactly neutral in their reporting. But, you know, I do like what they mentioned with that because, you know, there's going to be some players that want to reset XP to zero and do it again. And there's also going to be people that, you know, after 99, there's really no point besides 120 or even 200 mil. And it would, you know, it would be fun to level up something else,
yeah,
depending on what that is. You know, if it's some sort of, you know, room or you get reputation with the guild to get more. I mean, I think that's really nice thing, but I think they might have focused a little bit too much on, you know, not outlining other than resetting a skill to zero. That's the injustice I think they did, or that's the.
It sounds much like the original idea.
Yeah.
They didn't elaborate on how they would have changed that because it wasn't necessarily the idea behind it. It was the methodology that wasn't understood.
Right. And they basically just sort of reiterated that. And what needed to be done is say, reset it to zero, but you get this and this is how it would work. They basically said, you know, their way of shooting it in the foot, as you outlined at Parnassius, is it, they didn't shoot it in the foot by outlining the second fork in the road by putting XP towards something else. They shot it in the foot by saying, would you rather reset all your skills to zero and start over again and then end and then or this. That was the problem. They cut it off too early and basically that just reignited all the hate and disapproval of the first thing that lost like 90% to, you know, 5% or whatever and 5 were undecided. That was their problem. To get this to work and be more accepted in the community, they needed to spend a little bit more time and even preface it by saying a reworked prestige system model rather than saying, oh, prestige system, because to anyone that doesn't listen to the podcast or who didn't read
the initial Rune Labs brief
or who didn't. Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, even, you know, something like that. All that is. And if I wasn't on the show, if I didn't listen to the show, if I hadn't seen that Rune Labs post, I would have seen, oh, prestige mode or do this. I would have been like, no, absolutely not. Prestige mode was voted down. Obviously, why is this even in here? You know, it was turned down so much. They really shot themselves in the foot by not saying, hey, this failed once. We redesigned it. This is how we're going to implement it and sort of give a background because that's just the way it is.
And I mean, when you think about it and you really think about it, what? This should be an update that Jagex has a lot to gain from. It increases playability of the game, it increases engagement, and it lets people play content that is at lower level to them that they might have missed.
Absolutely.
So there's that. Now, I did see also, I forgot to mention this previously, that mounts and prestige are the bottom two in the voting so far. That's what they said on the live stream this week. So, I don't know what we do with that, but going forward, I ultimately think that should the second option for prestige come in, as in transferring your XP out to something else, I think the best mechanic to do this is either with a summoning rework and have it be a pet, skill-based pets, or just have it with the skill-based pets that are potentially going to come next year if those get voted in high enough. And then you get a dumb follower that just follows you around. You put XP into it, and then you get benefits on that pet as you get more XP into it. And then lo and behold, all the naysayers are using Prestige system without even realizing it, because it hooks onto their skilling pets.
Yep.
That is
true.
That would be the best way of implementing it.
At this point, yes.
That I would agree. Have people doing it without complaint. So,
kind of have to disguise it.
Yeah, exactly, right? It's like putting the pureed vegetables in something else, right?
Exactly. Or hiding, you know, your pet's medicine and, you know, in its food.
Oh, boy. I can't believe we've delved down to that. But I will say that next time, should we have been doing this again from the beginning, I think we would have done it with a concrete funding campaign. We would have bought ads on Reddit and all of the other websites, initially promoted the idea, put more into managing the differences of it, and then hopefully that would have changed opinions, because I think that that is something that's needed. So obviously we weren't willing to spend money this time around, but I think that is the way we should have went about this, is a full-blown ad campaign.
Definitely.
Oh, well, you learn once, and then you do it better next time.
Live and learn.
All right, I think that deals with Parnassius' question on both fronts. Yep. So, all right, next one is from Wiley. So, after getting 99 prayer last week, I got to thinking about a small thing I wish I could have done for my 99 party. If you could change one tiny thing in RuneScape, what would it be and why? I'd make it so eating cabbages gave you one prayer XP. I bet he is very much so looking forward to the Gower quest that is coming up later this month.
Oh, definitely, but, yeah.
if we could change one thing in RuneScape, what would it be? Well, I do have to say for me, if I could change one thing in RS, it would have been, well, I can change a lot of things in RS, actually. I think I would have changed the rollout and tutorials for the evolution of combat.
Yeah.
I would have made that a lot more simpler. I wouldn't have brought in momentum, and I would have, you know, come up with a way to quash the fears that people were having early on. And, I mean, should have probably done more beta testing with that too, and then listened to the feedback about this. And, I mean, looking back on that, it's really amazing that NXT is actually seeing uptake for something that is, you know, a big change to the way we play the game. So that's the first thing I would do, change the way the evolution of combat was rolled out and how it was managed from a PR standpoint. The second thing I would have done in my RS history, providing they are around, is I would have keepsaked my Untrim farming cape.
Mm. That's a good one.
Yeah. Anyways, how about you?
I'm going to have to agree with you as well. I would have keepsaked my untrimmed smithing cape. But had I known about the whole keepsake thing, I would have gotten runecrafting before smithing and keepsaked that. But on that matter, kind of sort of ties into my next thing, is a way to override things without the keepsake boxes, because pretty much every other MMO has some sort of a functionality of transmogrification.
So basically a cosmetic system.
Right. And then sort of for my
third... It doesn't cost rune coins.
Exactly. That you can pretty much just go in and just pay in-game gold every time you want to switch it.
But
and
question I have for you, though. Do the keepsake keys work well enough for you should you have been able to acquire them?
Yes.
Now, could you acquire them by bond?
Well, yes. But, okay, that's, all right. Well, let's try, but
I mean, I'm not trying to deflate your balloon, but I'm just saying that this kind of already exists in-game, a way of purchasing with gold, unless you're kind of referring to that the cosmetic override system, with the exception of the Solomon store outfits, should be something that everyone can use freely.
Well, basically, there's the like specialty outfits, if you will, with the Solomon store, that really aren't necessarily like in-game items. And that's completely different. I mean, I don't know. I just feel like I shouldn't have to spend whatever a bond is, 9 mil, 10 mil or whatever, if I want something to look different. But then again, it all comes down to what's the value of the item that you're keepsaking. Okay, if it's party hat, you know, it's worth it. But I guess on a more realistic note, I think it would be fun, still staying on the cosmetic point of things, to a way to, I guess, customize the way your stuff looks without really doing functionality and sort of making it across skills. And I'm just kind of spitballing here. I haven't had too much time to sort of think over it, but I thought it was kind of cool. The concept of, you know, you had the ham logo that you could put on your armor. It was like in the next slot or whatever, but right. You could sort of put different things on your character.
Okay.
And I think that would have been cool, especially like an old school, like back when that was the game, like, you know, how it was. You know, if you were high level, you're running around in full rune. Or if, you know, you're high level, it was barrows. There was really no sort of depth and customization into that regarding stats or whatever. Like if you were high level, everybody looked the same. You know, everybody had the same stuff. And, you know, aside from being able to keepsake different things, I think it would have been cool to sort of, you know, put your little
twist on
it.
Customize an armor, perhaps.
Exactly. Yeah. And have different designs or sort of, you know, different hues of stuff. And just, you know, they sort of went that direction with the whole with armor trimming and stuff. But that wasn't, you know, that was a drop. And then, you know, you had the dragon armor trimming kits and the spike kits and stuff, and that was kind of like that, but still not really accessible to most players. That was sort of definitely among the more wealthy players in game, you know, to buy those things. But I just think a little bit extra more, you know, extra customization, especially in RuneScape, because it's sort of seen as that sort of, you know, if you're high level, this is what you do, and this is how you're going to look. And it's like, you know, when, you know, old school legacy PVM, you know, everybody's running in there with full guthans, and it's just like you were just kind of a pawn in terms of sort of, you know, graphics. And I've always been very interested in the graphics of RuneScape and how that was possible with, you know, Java and whatnot, now or NXT. And I really think that they could have really sort of captured and made it a little bit more in-depth and immersive with the customization factor, because I think out of most MMOs, I think RuneScape is, yeah, I wouldn't say lacking, but definitely a little bit behind in its cosmetic features. So
all right, I'll give you that. The ability to customize armor without needing to purchase, you know, a kit from the microtransaction store. That's definitely a good thing.
Maybe use like divination and stuff to sort of, you know, make it glow or just some
sort
of neat little effect.
We have the ornamental kits for the Fury and whatnot, so you can customize the way the Fury looks. So it'd be kind of on that same vein, except perhaps more widespread. And maybe this could be some room put into the new construction rework, an art studio.
And, you know, I think it could be nice. You could pull stuff in from each different skill. So, or, you know, if your range or like your fletching, you know, you could, you know, attach different bows or different kinds of arrows or whatever on your quiver. And it just the way it looks and just sort of, you know, like I said, use divination or something to make a weapon glow or sort of have that aura effect just for a nice little difference. Because, you know, being somebody that actually does like Fashionscape, it's kind of fun to go around and find different stuff that, you know, looks neat, and it sort of adds to your little hunt. You're not just grinding for XP. You're kind of, oh, I want to go get this piece of armor or, you know, what have you. And it's just, it's a nice little part of the game that everybody, I feel like, enjoys to some sort of another. So anyway, that would be my little tweak. And I don't know how little it is after talking about it for 10 minutes, but anyway.
It makes sense and could fit into the construction rework, or, I mean, could maybe be a part of the character rework as well, because they're talking about reworking the character model. So
right.
All right. Well, that's it for questions this week. Thank you, both of you, for submitting your questions. If you guys want to submit questions, you can email questions@rsbnb.com or call or text to 571-57BNB, which is 571-572-2632. And finally, you can DM us on Twitter, which is @RSBNB. All right, so moving into tech news. You remember a number of months ago, Valve brought something out called the Steam Machine. which is essentially a console-based PC running Linux that plays the games on Steam that are compatible with Linux. They kind of wanted to do this because it would be a cheap PC that everyone who wanted to play video games could get behind, and you wouldn't need to necessarily purchase a PS4 or Xbox, and you could essentially play with your PC counterparts on Windows, providing the game had a Windows version, which most games on Steam do. Now, let's just say that the sales for the Steam Machine are not going well. The Steam controller that you use for the Steam Machine has sold just over 500,000 since last November. And this includes the number of controllers that were bundled with the actual Steam Machines. So this means that the Steam Machines are severely underneath the 500,000 mark. So obviously a flop for Valve. But I don't think they need to worry because they make money elsewhere. Though this does say that a PC-based gaming console that is not promoted by one of the traditional console makers is obviously not going to do well.
Right. Yeah, this is definitely tough competition to be sort of going up against Sony and Microsoft in terms of console, when it's really not even a console at all, necessarily. I mean, it's really just kind of a modified PC.
I mean, there's a number of things also that I think contributed to this. First and foremost, you buy an Xbox or a PS4 and you're good to go. And in addition to that, you can now stream the Xbox and PS4 to your Windows computer so you can play it like it was an actual PC. So there's that. And both Microsoft and Sony are enabling crossplay if the developers choose to for specific games out there. So that is once again removing the need for a dedicated, you know, cheap gaming PC shepherded by Valve. So that's another reason I think it's not doing well. And ultimately, if you look at what it takes to build a decent gaming PC, last time I tried, you can build a decent gaming PC providing you have a monitor, keyboard, and mouse for under $500.
Yep.
And not only that, have you ever built a PC? You build your PCs, right? Yeah?
Yeah, I've built actually quite a bit for friends and myself. So.
Yeah, and I mean, you start off thinking that, oh, I'm going to build a computer and it's going to be hard, but it's not really that hard, is it?
No, not necessarily. It's pretty much plug and play, honestly.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a great learning experience, and it's a way of bringing people into the so-called enthusiast market who might have, you know, just been this kind of people who would purchase a computer from Dell or Best Buy previously.
Sure.
So if you like your games, it's something you're inevitably going to look into. It's cheap if you want it to be, or you can, you know, put as much into it as you want, and you're going to get a great experience from doing it, not only the PC, but also actually building it. Yep. So I don't think there's any reason for the Steam Box to exist, unfortunately, after this. After 7 months, for comparison on this, the Xbox One was at 5.5 million units sold, and the PS4 was at 10.2 million after 10 months. So there's that. Also, it's worth noting that when you compare it with PC gaming, estimates in 2015 suggest that the worldwide market for new enthusiast and performance PC gaming hardware comprised about $18.3 billion. So it says even if we're being extremely generous and assume that SteamOS customers averaged a healthy $1,500 spent per Steam machine, note that the hardware goes for $500 on the low end. That amounts to just $750 million in sale, in or about 4% of the actual annual market share for PCs. So it's really small. But I don't know. I thought we needed something like this initially, but with crossplay and all the streaming options, I don't think that we do need a cheap gaming PC that runs Linux.
Yeah.
It's just better if you want something that is kind of cheap and an easy experience, then just get an Xbox or PS4.
Right.
And then inevitably you'll probably be able to play those games with your PC friends.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, Our next story relates to something that has been in the news quite a bit over the last number of years, really, and that is that Facebook Messenger is looking at allowing end users to enable end-to-end encryption on the messaging application.
It's good.
Yeah. WhatsApp turned it on by default for everyone just last month. iMessage has it on all the time, of course, and then we don't know what the current case is with Skype. But I think that would be an interesting little checkbox that Facebook could have on their platform if people wanted to use it for, you know, conversations that they might not necessarily want Facebook reading.
Right.
So, though.
And I know that's always, you know, definitely been in the news with the whole privacy thing and having access to everything. So having encryption adds a little bit. It's helping their cause for sure.
Yeah.
At least on the front end. So.
And the only thing that is questionable about this is, you know, with the recent news stories we've had about Facebook censoring and whatnot, the trust for Facebook is probably low at this point from skeptical users. So if they're on Facebook, I don't think that encryption would help them start using Messenger as a platform. And with that, at the very least, I think should Facebook ultimately decide to do this, they need to publish a transparent document of how the encryption scheme they're using works. Because if it's a bulletproof encryption scheme, you can publish that spec, tell people how it works, where all the encryption keys are stored, and that can go a long way to verify the actual security of the product you're using.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you just say it's encrypted, you don't necessarily know how encrypted it is, because Facebook yeah. could have the master keys, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Anyways, would you turn it on?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a problem with it. I'm not too much into the whole Big Brother thing. I use the Messenger app. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah.
I'm not really doing anything that warrants investigation, I guess.
Let's be real here. If you're plugged into Google and you're plugged into Facebook and
you're
liking
the internet,
things on Facebook,
people know
they're going to know
more
who
about you
are.
Than you'd like. Yeah,
exactly.
So that's my thing. Yeah. I mean, I think it only can go up from here. It's definitely going to have to be strategic, like you said, on their part to bring people back to use Messenger. You know, it's definitely going to need that transparent document to sort of gain that trust back.
Yeah,
for sure.
And I mean, but not right now, but eventually there's also going to need to be a way of verifying that we can provide messages should law enforcement require them.
Right.
So. Anyways, next piece of tech news relates to Facebook, Twitter, Microsoft, and YouTube, and that, of course, includes Google. They agreed to European regulations that require them to review the majority of hateful online content within 24 hours of being notified and remove it if necessary, as part of a new code of conduct aimed at combating hate speech and terrorist propaganda across the EU.
That's good.
The new rules announced on Tuesday by the European Commission also oblige the tech companies to identify and promote independent counter-narratives to hate speech and propaganda published online. So, the big question that comes from this is, of course, who is defining hate speech and what does it encompass? Is it someone who doesn't agree with a specific point of view expressed in an article and gets that page or user flagged, and that they have to become aware of alternative viewpoints,
right,
or quote-unquote independent counter-narratives? So that's my only concern for this, is that you'll end up with, you know, pages that aren't necessarily truly hate speech being dragged through this ringer.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that this is the start of something good for these companies, because they've been kind of wishy-washy in the past going forward. And as we know, it's a major problem in the European Union after the recent terrorist attacks.
Right.
Whether or not, you know, it's people just, of course, expressing displeasure with the Islamic State and Islamic terrorism in general, or if people are, of course, speaking hatefully about the people who are, of course, Muslim. because of these terrorist attacks, right? Mm-hmm. So there's something that needs to be worked out there, and we do have to hope that, of course, that will be treaded on carefully, because if you start going down this path, it doesn't end well. So it has to be done right.
Yeah.
So we will, of course, be monitoring this file going forward.
Yeah, and perhaps this is distasteful, but hey, if anything gets removed via the system, hopefully they at least give some explanation on why it was removed, unlike a certain community that we have discussed previously. Okay.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, definitely. So, I don't know. And, you know, this, I think, is one of the first places in the world to bring something like this out, because we don't have anything like this in Canada. You guys don't have anything like this in the U.S. So it's going to be interesting to see how it works out coming from a government dealing with these companies.
Absolutely.
So, alrighty, folks, that's it for tech news. So we're going to talk about the skill of the month and Informer Roundup. So it's the June skill of the month, which is crafting. Doesn't seem like people are wanting to spend money on crafting, because 2 days in, we have Jamandy52 with 188K experience gained, Parnassius 180,000, and That's Bad with 96,000 XP gained. And we only got 10 signups this month, so obviously you can tell that crafting is a bit of a drain for some people. So,
yeah, definitely.
You know, and it's kind of a discussion I've been having with myself. Those are often the best kind of discussions to have, I guess. Is I was thinking, what if we change the way skill of the months were chosen? What if we basically said, okay, so here's one support skill, one artisan skill, one gathering skill, one combat skill. We're gonna choose randomly between these ones.
Right.
I don't know. That's just something I was thinking. Or maybe make it so that a skill can't be chosen in more than 6 months. Right now it's 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
That might add some more variety to it. Or you can't have more than 2 money sink skills in a row, because I think it's fairly safe that we can identify what is a money sink skill and what isn't a money sink skill.
Oh, so, yeah. There wouldn't be too much debate there.
We could look at doing that as well. And it, I mean, it's something I am willing to look at and entertain. So if you guys listening to this show have any ideas on that,
definitely
post them in the notes or send me a private message on the forums, which is rsbnb.com/forums, if you don't have an invite to it or an account.
Shoot us a mention on Twitter as well.
Yeah, at rsbnb, that works too. And I mean, in comparison, the woodcutting skill of the month in May had 13 signups and a grand total of 51 million experience gained by everyone combined. Mm-hmm. So Sorensen 57 won that one with 22.9 million. The RR Man came in second with 10.9, and Parnassius in third with 8.3. So obviously a lot more XP there since it was a gathering skill. So anyways, let us know what you think. And also, being the start of the month, we do have the Informer Roundup, in which we summarize everything that happened on RSBNB Informer the past month. So that includes Mr. Bistro's article expressing concern with the path Jagex has taken in May. Alex looking at the invention tech tree updates, which put invention in a good place. And then also we do have some other articles written by our writers since it was a free topic month. Tannis wrote about a new game coming out in June, a space adventure game called No Man's Sky. He gave a good review of it and provided to us why he was excited about this game, so you can give that a read. And Colton also wrote an article that was very interesting called Why Most Diets Fail. He provided some insight onto it, both personal and scientifically based, so you can definitely give that a check out as well. And then I just rambled on for a bit about a programming language called Swift and explained why having an open programming language is a good thing. So that's the Informer Roundup. And of course, you can find all those articles and more at informer.rsbnb.com. All right. Achievements of the week. We got a bunch this week, unlike last week.
Yes, we do. So, we're making up for it.
Let's run through these. I'll start with the first two. Mr. Jediite got 99 magic on May 30th, and Aphemera, I guess that's how we'd say that, got 99 smithing on May 30th as well, so congratulations to the both of you.
Very good. Such XP Waste got 99 herb lore May 28th, Pabst got 99 Prayer on May 27th, and Adiv coming in with another 120, and we actually mentioned this a couple episodes ago with his 100 mil XP. He finally achieved 120 thieving, so awesome job there, May 26th, so it's always nice to see at least one 120 in the mix, because that's definitely quite the hike. So,
good job, everyone.
Very good.
Well done. Well done. Nice achievements. All right. So, pick of the week for you. What have we got?
This is some of you may have heard of it, some of you may not. It's called CG Society. It is a online community basically formed around computer-generated graphics and images. So that's anything from basic Photoshop, original pieces, to 3D modeling, leveling design. And you may ask, what's different between this and, say, DeviantArt, for example? This is a lot more tech-based. DeviantArt kind of goes on other paths. So the reason I like this is it has a lot of... it's all original art, and you know it incorporates 3D modeling, a lot of tech oriented stuff in reference to game design, level design, sort of environmental design, and also something that I find really neat is there's different aspects to this community. There's workshops. Which basically you can pay a certain amount of money, and it's basically like an online course, tutorials and stuff in depth. They're usually run about 8 weeks. So if there's, you know, you can go to the website, which is cgsociety.org, and check out the workshops if you're curious on how to do stuff of a certain aspect with Photoshop or different 3D rendering programs. You can scroll down the list and see when that particular workshop starts and get more information on that. There's also challenges and sort of competitions. I'm not really exactly sure how often they run, but the one right now is actually a concept spaceship design competition. And there's different categories. There's best fighter ship, best mothership, and best pilot mechanic crew. So there's different criterias. And then there's obviously different aspects on which these works are judged upon. So I think it's really cool, sort of in involvement. We used to have something around RSBNB a long time ago, Signature of the Week. It was sort of a graphics competition. You know, it's
this looks like a grown-up deviant art.
Yeah, it's very cool. And, you know, if you win these competitions, for any of you hardcore 3D modelers out there or Photoshop gurus, it's really cool to sort of at least check out, because, you know, some of the participation prizes are actually licenses to, some, you know, some of the top of the line graphics programs and animation programs. So it's definitely something cool to look into. I'm not necessarily on that tier. And as speaking of, you know, competing necessarily, they have really nice forums just for tips and tricks and tutorials as well. I'm going to be completely honest. I honestly just like going in the galleries and just scrolling down and finding some really cool, you know, desktops, you know, wallpapers.
Yeah, that makes sense.
If you're a creative writer, I've actually found quite a bit of really nice sort of sci-fi landscapes and different environments that are definitely inspiring. Again, I find a lot of sort of concept art-esque, you know, pieces on this website.
Yeah, there's interesting one here, a 3D built historical village on a hill with fog and trees and everything like that. So
yeah, they focus a lot on you know, these rendering programs necessarily, or not necessarily so much just like throwing something into Photoshop and, you know, oh, this is my rendition of, you know, the newest Pokemon or whatever. It's actually like very thought out.
That's right. And that's why I said a grown up deviant art.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, usually there's quite a bit of backstory, and, you know, with, as far as these, you know, challenges and competitions and forums go, it's actually, I don't want to say moderated by, but there's a lot of top of the line industry leading professionals that take part in this. Like, for instance, you know, a few of the judges for the competitions, there's a couple from Epic Games, there's a couple, you know, professors from MIT. So it's not necessarily all just a community thing. It's definitely run by people that know what they're doing. Obviously, if you're, you know, dropping money for workshops, that's very good.
Yeah, especially when some of the workshops are upwards of $700.
Exactly. But I think it's really cool that, you know, within the forums, it's so accessible to talk to industry professionals. So someone like myself, I wouldn't consider myself a graphic designer, but I definitely do play around with Photoshop quite a bit. I do play around with 3D modeling programs quite a bit. And I just like it, you know, it's something fun. It's a hobby. And to sort of get, you know, the tips and tricks and, you know, sort of industry secrets and, you know, whatnot is very cool from definitely reputable sources and, you know, people you sort of indirectly look up to, like these game designers. Oh, you like Gears of War? Well, guess what? The guy that's telling you how to export your file from Photoshop, you know, designed all the levels for Gears of War. You know, it's very cool and, you know, something that you can sort of connect with. And, you know, again, I like the whole concept art theme because, you know, it shows that process on, you know, where what the artist was thinking. And again, you know, I've experimented with some creative writing before and, you know, I never fail to find some inspiration, especially with the sci-fi themed sort of landscapes and sketches that are on there. When the, you know, steps of level design definitely sort of sparks some different thought processes and just the way you sort of approach different methods and art. So definitely check it out. And I hope my rambling hasn't deterred you too much, but it's definitely worth your time just to go if, you know, want to find some cool wallpapers, if anything.
Yeah, so. There's a really great one here called Canyon City. Looks as though, I mean, it could be an underground city almost, perhaps. Mm-hmm. And covers water, atmospheric effects, and whatnot are really good. Yeah. So definitely go check it out, cgsociety.org.
Indeed.
All right. So what have you been up to this week on RS?
Actually, not too much on RS. Again, you know, I repeat myself every week, but work's been crazy. And, you know, to be brutally honest, I'm just kind of, I don't know, I don't want to say a hiatus from RuneScape, but I'm sort of definitely taking it easy and not logging in as much. Obviously still keeping up with the state of the game and whatnot, but I haven't really found myself getting on to grind out anything per se. Call it post-comp syndrome, if you will. But taking a little breather, you know, and I've definitely taken my fair share of breathers in my 12-year RS career, so it's definitely nothing to worry about. I'm not going anywhere. I'm just sort of taking a little bit of break, and then I'll come back probably full force and probably a little bit stronger than I'd intend, and it's probably going to interfere with my sleep schedule at least a little bit, but that's how I roll. So yeah, I mean, not too much with RuneScape, like I said, but you know, definitely keeping up with gaming in general and doing stuff with my car and whatnot. So, you know, pretty much the same old, but you know, that's pretty much what's going on. So.
All right. As for me this week on RS, I got level 61 invention, just keeping on going with the crystal trees. Aside from that, also started doing some herb farming again, looking to expand my collection for when I start herb lore up again. And, you know, aside from that, working through, of course, the summer survey stuff. And I should also mention that I got 94 Dungeoneering off lap, so that's coming along nicely. It would be 95 before we know it.
There you go. Slowly but surely.
But yeah, not too much. I just hope that someone can give me an idea of what potion to do going to level 120 herb lore. I always think that I have it set with going for the adrenaline potions, then disassembling them for invention. Uh-huh. But then I think, okay, what am I going to do with all those components with invention? We don't necessarily have anything that we can do that with yet. So that's not necessarily something I want to do the whole time. What I'm leaning to right now is doing the entire strength potion tree, going from super strength to extreme strength. And, you know, of course, I don't know if I need that many strength potions or extreme strength potions, but mm-hmm. It is what it is. Yeah. I likely won't buy my own limpworts, but I will farm my own herbs. So
there you go.
If anyone has any ideas out there about what the best herb lore method to 120 would be, please do let me know in a question or form PM or Twitter message or anything like that. So
definitely.
All right, well, that's it for RSBNB Update. Thank you, everyone, for sharing your time with us. And remember, if you want to chat with us, we're in Friends Chat, Bits Bytes, or on the Twitters at RSBNB. See you next week.
See ya.